One of the most valuable exercises you can engage in accomplishing any goal, is to ask yourself, what is my limiting step? What is the one factor that determines how quickly I can achieve my goal, or whether I achieve it at all? The ability to identify your limiting step is one of the best demonstrations of your intelligence. And your capacity to eliminate this limiting step is one of the best demonstrations of your overall competence in achieving anything you want. In looking over everything that's been written or said about personal success, the conclusion I came to was that your level of self-confidence is probably the limiting step in everything you accomplish. As I've said throughout this course, when you have enough self-confidence, you will try almost anything. Because success is largely a matter of averages or probability, the more things you try, the more likely it is that you will achieve greatly. When you set more goals and try more things, engage in more activities, and explore more opportunities, your probabilities of ultimate success go up astronomically. And the only real limiting step that you might have is your level of self-confidence. When you reach the point where you believe in yourself absolutely, the barriers that exist in your external world will not stop you. As soon as you win the inner battle, the outer battle seems to take care of itself. The development of self-confidence has been the turning point in my own life. The reason I feel so strongly about this subject is because of what it has meant to me. The development of greater self-confidence has enabled me to go from rags to riches, from limited means and obscurity to national and even international renown, and from living in a small, rented one-bedroom apartment and being deeply in debt to living in a beautiful home on a golf course and driving a new Mercedes. Talent and ambition have been very helpful, but without the development of self-confidence, my inborn abilities would have lain dormant and unused, as they did for many years. Before I gained enough self-confidence to make a difference, my background wasn't very exciting. I came from a home with three younger brothers, and while I was growing up, we never seemed to have very much money. My father was a good man, but he was not always employed and working, and I remember from my earliest days that we could never afford anything. I became a behavior problem at an early age. I see now, in looking back, that I was just rebelling against my upbringing, but at the time I was a real problem for everyone around me. I was constantly being kicked out of classes for misbehavior, and I was suspended or expelled from four schools during my junior high and high school years. I had the sorry distinction of being the worst behaved kid in school, with more detentions, more demerits, and more failed classes than any other kid in the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades. I began working at a young age. I worked at a part-time job and then full-time jobs to earn my own money and buy my own clothes and eventually get my own car. I worked as a dishwasher in a small hotel for 8 hours a day during my 12th grade year, and although I didn't drop out of high school, I failed out. I continued going to school until the year was over, but I failed 6 out of my last 7 courses. During the graduation ceremonies, they allowed me to go up on the stage in a gown in front of all the parents and receive a certificate from the principal. The person in front of me received a diploma, and the person in back of me also received a diploma, but what I got was a leaving certificate. A leaving certificate is a polite way for the school to say, goodbye, please don't ever come back. While many of my friends who had graduated from high school went on to university to complete their educations, I began working at laboring jobs. Over the next few years, I worked as a dishwasher and a kitchen helper. I worked in sawmills and factories. I worked on construction crews and as a laborer. When I was 23 years old, I worked as a farm laborer during the harvest. In one job, I dug wells, and that's where you start from the ground level and work down rather than up. In my mid-20s, I was still drifting, and in order to eat, I began selling office supplies from door to door. I did poorly. From there, I went to selling other things. I remember making calls for an entire month without selling a single thing. I lived on loans and charity from family and friends. I had virtually no possessions, very few clothes even, no money, no high school diploma, no marketable skills, and no experience of any real value to anyone. I was going nowhere fast. Meanwhile, all around me, I saw people my own age and younger who were doing well. They were moving onward and upward in their careers. They had offices, and some of them even had staffs. Several of them had gotten married and had homes and families and furniture and what appeared to be pretty good lives. My first turning point came when I realized that my problems at school and in getting along with other people were as a direct result of my own personality. I began to understand that my unhappiness and anger and frustration at my childhood experiences had caused me to develop a negative personality that turned many people off. The second turning point came for me when I realized that I was completely responsible for my life and for everything that happened to me from then on. If I wasn't happy with my income or my work or my education or my future prospects, it was up to me to go to work on myself and make the necessary changes. They wouldn't happen by themselves. The third turning point came for me when I discovered the importance of setting goals and of making clear decisions about what I really wanted in each area of my life. When I first stumbled across the subject of goals, I thought they were something that you had in football games. The idea of setting them for myself wasn't quite believable. Because I had low self-esteem and limited self-confidence, the first goals I set weren't very high. They were consistent with what we talked about in session two of this program, but I looked upon the exercise as more of an entertainment than as an important stepping stone to success. I remember sitting in someone else's cheap hotel room many years ago. I took out a piece of hotel stationery and wrote out a couple of goals and put deadlines on them and then made a simple plan for accomplishing them. I promptly lost the sheet of paper, but exactly 31 days later, just as I had written, and as the result of a remarkable series of coincidences, both my goals were achieved. I was in my 20s at the time, and I still remember the feeling of astonishment I had at that time. I felt that I had learned of a secret power that I could use to accomplish almost anything. Well, I had learned three success ideas. First, accept complete responsibility for yourself and for everything that you are and ever will be. Second, accept that you can change your situation only by going to work on yourself and learning the things you need to know to be better. And third, set clear goals with timelines for the things you want, and then go to work to bring those goals into reality. For the next few years, I used these ideas sporadically. Each time I did, I would experience a burst of success and progress. As soon as I achieved a modicum of success, I would abandon these ideas and go back to simply reacting and responding to whatever happened on a daily basis. It took me several years before I finally began practicing these ideas and many others that I've mentioned in this program on a regular basis, and I began to get results in a systematic and consistent way. I learned later that our natural tendency is to work very hard until we find a specific method or technique that works for us, whether in life or work or relationships, and then, for some perverse reason, we promptly abandon the technique and go back to behaving in our old way in a random and haphazard manner. And here's the point. I learned in retrospect that the reason why I suffered so many frustrations and why I drifted away from using these principles so often was because I lacked self-confidence. My conscious mind told me that these principles made sense, but my subconscious mind, my storehouse of memories and emotions and previous experiences, was telling me that I wasn't good enough and that success was not really for me. As my friend Zig Ziglar says, I was engineered for success, but programmed for failure. I wanted success on the outside, but I didn't really believe I was capable of it on the inside. The fourth turning point for me, and the reason that I've produced this program for you, was my discovery that I could develop any quality that I thought was necessary for my success and happiness. I learned that by hard work and repetition, I could overcome and override my feelings of inferiority and undeservingness and build up my feelings of self-esteem and self-confidence. I could identify and then alleviate my own bottlenecks or limiting steps. By going to work on myself systematically, I could build myself up into the high-achieving, happy person that I really wanted to be. By taking my foot off my own subconscious brakes and putting them onto my conscious accelerator, I could begin to move ahead rapidly in life. And the key, the spark plug, was the conscious and purposeful development and maintenance of high levels of self-confidence. Every successful man or woman that I've ever talked to or read about has come to pretty much the same conclusion.